In this episode, I want to give you a sneak peek at the job search workshop that will be coming up on Monday, April 1st. It's titled Find a Better Job Using 3 Essential Job Search Strategies. It's going to help you create a more effective plan to look for your next great job using the techniques that only the most successful people tend to use. I'm Larry Cornett, and this is Invincible Career. Yeah, I wanted to provide a little bit of a peek at this workshop that's going to be coming up in a little over 19 days. And if you're interested, you can go to invinciblecareer.com or newsletter.invinciblecareer.com. And then you can find a link to the workshop if you want to check it out. If you go to invinciblecareer.com, I have a section on the homepage that says workshops, and that will take you to my live workshop events, and it'll show you my past workshops. And then you can check out where to learn more about it. Just as a heads up, the price will be going up next week. So if you want to get the best price on this workshop, go grab your ticket today as you hear this. So I'm going to dive into the presentation that I've been building for the workshop. Let me see. I'll pull up the rough agenda. So about 2 hours is what these have been running. I've done a few of them already this year. I did the goals workshop back in January. I had my solopreneur workshop in February, you know, how to quit your 9-to-5 job and start your own business. So this is the job search workshop. The agenda, I'm going to briefly cover who I am because some folks don't know me, and then dive into what's going wrong. If you're looking for a job or you're thinking about looking for a job, something is not quite right. If you were thrilled, you wouldn't be looking for a job. And then we're going to have a brief discussion. I break out the people who are attending into different breakout rooms. And it's usually, I try to have no more than 3 to 4 people in a breakout room. But it's going to be talking about why you're looking for a job, what's going wrong, what you don't want to repeat with your next job, your next employer. And then I'm going to share those 3 strategies. And then we dive into all about you. So who you are, what you do, what you're great at doing, getting clear about all that, because that is going to be necessary for the next parts of the workshop. Defining your ideal job. So what is the next ideal role for you? Who is your ideal employer? Who would you wish you could work for? And not a specific name necessarily, but describing the attributes of that employer. And then who would be your ideal boss or manager? And I'm going to talk about why that's so important, because I've learned that the hard way, and I've seen that with my clients. Another breakout discussion where people are going to talk about what they're looking for, ideal job, ideal employer, ideal boss, because a big part of finding a job is connecting with other people. And so you're going to be connecting with a lot of professionals and tech professionals and people from all walks of life who may say, oh, I know a company like that. And that would be super helpful. Come back from that, and I'm going to talk about the first strategy, which is all about connecting, and then move into the second big strategy, which is about broadcasting, and then another discussion. So talking about how you're going to be doing the connecting and broadcasting and what your plan is, and then move into the third strategy, targeting, and then save about 20 minutes at the end for Q&A. And that's usually one of the most lively parts of the workshop, where everybody's got a whole bunch of questions that they want to ask and things that we want to discuss before we wrap up the session. So yeah, just a little bit about why I'm doing this. So I shared this in my solopreneur workshop recently, but in the US alone, about 305,000 employees lost their jobs due to major layoffs. So this was major layoffs at probably larger corporations. This isn't counting everybody that lost their job. This was in 2023. And if you haven't been in the job market or you haven't been looking, competition is fierce. There have been a lot of layoffs. The economy's kind of interesting. There are signs that it's in good shape, but there is also a lot of signs that companies are cutting headcount. So it's making it harder to find the next job. So this market's rough. I've been in this industry and been working for decades. A lot of my clients have been working for 10, 20 years, and they said this is one of the roughest job markets they've ever seen. It's not great. About 77% of job seekers say they've been ghosted by a prospective employer. And I would imagine some of you listening to this have been ghosted by a recruiter or a hiring manager, maybe even after the initial contact, sometimes even after you've interviewed. You just never hear back. So it's definitely an employer's market. This is not an employee's market right now. So how do you avoid all this, right? And that's the whole point of the workshop. I'm going to teach you some strategies that are different than what it seems like everybody's doing with their spray and pray techniques. It's not ever been how I got all of my jobs, my best jobs. It's not how my clients get their jobs. It's not how the most senior people get their jobs. And so the kind of the essence of this is a quote from Jerry Rice, which I really love. Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I will do what others can't. And that is all these strategies in a nutshell. It's doing what other people are saying, oh, I don't have time for that, or they don't want to do that, or it sounds too hard, they don't think they have to do that. And then they wonder why they're getting ghosted. They wonder why they've applied to 100 jobs, and I'm not exaggerating. There are people complaining on social media, if you look around, that they've applied to hundreds of jobs and not got a single interview. Or they've applied to hundreds and they've done a couple of phone screens, but they've never got an offer. Somebody was saying they had hundreds of applications and dozens of interviews and they still didn't have an offer, which is why I'm doing this workshop. If you do what everyone else is doing, you'll never stand out from the crowd. You're never going to win. You're never going to get that job offer. It's very unlikely. Why would that work? Why would you doing what hundreds of thousands of people are doing, and in some cases, millions, there's an example that I share where it's millions, how are you going to stand out if you do what everybody else is doing? So I'm going to share those three essential strategies. And the reason I do this is I'll talk about this later in the workshop, but there are a couple of people that don't seem to struggle with this, right? So the people that are so unbelievably good at what they do that everybody knows their name, everybody in their industry or their profession or both, they know the name. You mention that name, they're like, oh, I know that person. And they're so good at what they do, and they're known for being good, that they're constantly getting recruited. They're being courted all the time. They're getting people calling them weekly, trying to get them to interview. I've seen it. I know some of these people. And so if you're not one of those people, it's going to be hard to get a job. And not all of us can be. Not all of us are that top 1%. And that's the other thing, is if you have a resume that you can send through a job application and you are a top 1% resume, yeah, maybe. Maybe you'll have a chance. But how many people have a top 1% resume? I have a client like that. They're amazing. I've been working with them for years. I'm more of a leadership coach and advisor for this person. They don't struggle getting jobs. They've worked at places like Amazon. They worked at Facebook. They have a lot of great stuff in their resume that makes them stand out. But if you didn't go to MIT or Stanford or Harvard and work at Amazon or Microsoft or Apple or Facebook or Google, that's not a top 1% resume. And I'm not trying to be mean. Most people can't. It's impossible for everybody to have a top 1% resume. But if you don't have one, simply sending in your resume in a job application means you're just going to get tossed to the side. That's not how it works. That's not how you're going to get noticed. And I've talked about this before, that I see so many talented people lagging behind in their careers relative to people who are less talented, yet they're better at promoting their work. They're better at getting noticed. They're better at networking. They know they have to be, and it works. And the reason this is such a challenge is that you've probably seen this. When a new job shows up on a job board, or it shows up on LinkedIn, or wherever it is that you look for jobs, by the time you see it, by the time you apply, hundreds of people have applied. Sometimes thousands. I see those. And I'm pretty active online, as you can imagine, with what I do. And I look at it because I share jobs with my clients and in my community. And it's like, wow, already 1,000 people have applied. This thing just opened today. There's something that's called the hidden job market. And it's debated. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it's no such thing as the hidden job market. It doesn't exist. That's illegal. And then there's other people say, oh, it exists. And they think that up to 85% of critical jobs, so this isn't every job, but critical jobs at great companies, are filled through referrals or networking of some sort. And I'll tell you why. It's not because those jobs are 100% hidden and never show up in a job listing, that they're never posted on a careers page, they're never on LinkedIn. They are. They have to be. In many cases, it's illegal not to post an open job. You can't just fill it. And so it has to be posted. I remember this. I worked in the industry a long time. I worked at IBM. I worked at Apple. I worked at eBay. I worked at Yahoo. I had my own startup. I've interviewed hundreds, if not thousands of people. I've hired hundreds of people and worked with recruiters of all sorts and all kinds of hiring managers and you name it. When we were looking for key talent, especially the more senior the talent, we would try to get referrals as soon as possible before the job hit the open market. As a hiring manager, it is not fun to weed through hundreds or thousands of resumes. There's an example I was going to share that data that's insane that Google receives, this is years ago, receives like 1 million job applications a year. 1 million. Because it's Google. No one wants to wade through all that when they're trying to fill a role. It's a lot of work. It's really hard to go through all that and separate the people that are relevant versus not, because everybody tries, right? Everybody tries. Hiring managers don't like unknowns. It is so risky to hire somebody that may not be a good fit, may look great on paper, but it's actually doesn't work out when they come into the company. And that happens. There are people who look good on paper, you hire them, it doesn't work out. You don't know someone's personality 100%, even with the interview. And we've done that. I've done that. We've hired people that looked great, they interviewed really well, and they came in and they were just really impossible people to work with. They were rude to everyone. They were a prima donna. They were behind on their work all the time, all kinds of stuff, right? There's reasons for this stuff. And so hiring managers love referrals. They love their trusted network that can tell them, oh, here's the person, one or two people that are great for this role you're trying to hire, and I will vouch for them. It's like anything. We like hearing from the people we trust about things that we should buy, people we should hire, because it knocks down all those barriers. There's no longer a question. Is this person smart? Are they a good worker? Do they collaborate well? Am I going to really be happy I hired this person? Well, your friend will tell you the truth because they don't want to send somebody to you that makes them look bad. So that's why so many of these jobs are, quote, hidden. There are many times that a hiring manager has already found somebody through a referral and decided this is the person I really want to hire, but I have to put the job in the open market. I'm going to have to interview a few people, but I'm really only interested in this person. Maybe they discover somebody else, but they probably won't. So that's why the strategies I'm going to talk about are so important. That's why what I'm sharing in this workshop comes from decades of my experience dating back to 1993. It's the technique I've used. It's the technique that the best people that I've worked with in the industry use. So let me go ahead and dive a little bit deeper into this. Let's see. So a little bit that I'm going to talk about. So I started work in my kind of, I'll call it, quote, my real job, but I had other jobs before that. What's interesting is some of the other jobs I had, even the blue collar jobs, little did I know that I was using these strategies even back then, One of my jobs in the past, it was a police dispatcher, believe it or not. Kind of an interesting background. I had been a security guard before that. And I had gotten to know the police officers pretty well at the station because I was a security guard. We worked the same shift and sometimes we overlapped doing stuff. They told me about the position they were going to open for this dispatcher role before it was even listed. They coached me and how to interview for it. They wanted me to be the person because I already had experience working with them. So I was already using this strategy without even knowing it was a strategy. And yeah, I got the job and I was a police dispatcher for a few years before I went to graduate school. And then my first job at IBM was through my network. My professor introduced me to one of his old graduate students and then the people that he who was at IBM, and he knew people at IBM and his wife was working at IBM. And so getting the job at IBM was pretty straightforward and pretty easy. And I thought this is just how things worked. I don't even remember formally applying. I'm sure I'd give them a resume at some point. Same thing happened with my job at Apple. I knew somebody who had worked at Apple and they introduced me to a hiring manager. And so I had a summer internship at Apple pretty easily. And then because of that, that opened doors and then they wanted to hire me full-time. So I got a full-time job at Apple. Same thing happened at eBay. I knew the hiring manager and he talked me into joining eBay and said, give it a chance. We're going to be doing some exciting stuff. Don't write us off. But it made it pretty easy to get the job. And the same thing happened at Yahoo. The hiring manager had been my boss's boss at Apple. And so, and somebody who was on the team had been an employee of mine before. So we all knew each other. And when your people in your network try to help you get a job, they don't want to look bad. They don't want to refer you for a job and then you kind of bomb out. So they coach you and they advise you and they tell you, okay, this person really cares about this. Watch out for this person. They're going to ask these kinds of tough questions. Don't worry about this. No one cares about that. It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. And so then in the workshop, I'm going to go into what isn't going so well for you. What's going wrong? There's a quote that's been used by many people, but the originator was George Santayana. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And you've probably heard many variations of that. But it is true. If you don't figure out what's going wrong, why you're looking for a new job, why your current job isn't working out, why you might be struggling to find a job. If you don't assess that, you're doomed to repeat it again. So you have to think about, why did it happen? How can I avoid this in the future? What needs to change with my next job, with my next boss? So you don't repeat that. And then I'm going to dive into the strategies that I talked about. And I call it a pyramid because I like the word pyramid much better than tetrahedron, but it really is a three-sided pyramid, not the traditional four-sided. So officially it's not a pyramid, but hey, I prefer pyramid. But basically what I do is I break down the activities of those three sides. And there's a reason it's shaped like a pyramid, like a triangle, is that there's a broad base of lower effort, the daily activities that you can be doing, that you should be doing to help with the job search, with a lower return on investment, lower ROI. And then as you go to the peak of the pyramid, there are things you should be doing weekly and things you should be doing maybe monthly, right? Those are going to be more effort. They're harder to do. But the return on the investment is much higher, much higher. And this all sits on a broad base before you can even dive into the job search of being clear about who you are, your capabilities, your knowledge, your talents, your skills, your experience, what it is that you do. What do you do? What do you want to do? And then what do you want? What are you looking for? What kind of job? What kind of employer? What kind of boss? What's the right move for you? What's the best move for you? So that's the base of that. So I mentioned these earlier, but it is the three sides of that pyramid. It's about connecting, broadcasting, and targeting. That's what I call these general strategic categories. And again, it is doing what others will not so you can achieve what others cannot. Those people who don't get offers, the people who get ghosted. With connecting, as you go from the base to the tip, it's going to be, as I go into each of these kind of key strategies in the workshop, it's going to be about refreshing your network. I'm going to talk about how to build a, you can think of it as a customer relationship management spreadsheet, but essentially just a spreadsheet to manage your network, the people that you're connected to reconnect with people, to diversify your network, to expand it, to leverage and tap into your network the right way, to make it stronger, to boost the power of it. And talking about the weak connections, I'm going to go into the power of weak ties. Then the second strategy is about broadcasting. And it's the simple things, as you can imagine, once you're clear about who you are and what you want, now you can update your LinkedIn. You know, you can update your resume. You can make sure that it reflects who you are and what you're looking for instead of being out of date. You're going to want to be consistent, update your bios across all your socials, what you have on Twitter, what you have on Threads, what you have on Facebook, what you have on whatever it is you use. And then I'm going to talk about broadcasting who you are, how you think, and how amazing you are in a way that can actually start to treat you almost like you're putting mini advertisements into the world. So things that you post on the social media, things that you write, articles you write, videos, podcasting, you name it. And you don't have to do all of these. But the more you are seen, the more highly visible you are across more channels, the more likely someone's going to reach out to you. And I think of this as kind of a longer term strategy. It's something you should be doing all the time. If you are doing this all the time, posting a little bit every day, writing something every week, maybe podcasting or being on a podcast once a month, people are going to start reaching out to you. You won't even have to look for jobs. You're going to get people reaching out to you and saying, hey, we have an open position. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm not making this up. I know people that this happens to. I was talking with a client about this and I said, yeah, it's a long strategy. It may take a while. And they said, oh, actually, when I quit a job and I was looking, I posted some stuff over the next 2 weeks, and it was just some thought pieces about how they do their work and what their philosophy was about stuff, and you name it. And they said the second week, a couple of recruiters reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to have you come in an interview because of what they posted. So it can work pretty quickly, and it's something you should always be doing. And then the last strategy is what most people do, but they don't do it quite correctly. I call it targeting. But that is identifying your ideal potential employers. Who are those targets? But instead of just cold applying, going to the career page or using the job board and just kind of spraying and praying and hoping that somebody's going to reach back out and say, loved your resume. We want you to come in and interview. It's like, that rarely happens. It's about finding connections that will get you inside the company, finding your inside champions. I've talked about those so many times and how important that is. I had inside champions at every company when I got hired. Getting connected to those hiring managers, getting that initial contact, whether it's a phone call, a Zoom call, whatever. And then the peak of the pyramid is the job interviews, right? And that's what I mean about high intensity, high ROI. You cannot be doing dozens of interviews per day. But when you do an interview, when you get to that point, and it's an employer you really care about, then the return on the investment's huge, right? When it goes well, you get a job offer, and now you have a great new job. So then I am going to go deeper into that pyramid and start with the base. I'm going to talk about who you are. This is really about understanding yourself, diving into that toolbox of you that I've mentioned before, your talents, your advantages, personality traits, knowledge, skills, experience, you name it. Things you love doing, you know, what do you love doing in your job? And there's stuff, obviously, job is a job, right? But there are things that we do in our jobs that we really enjoy, and there's things we're really good at doing. Maybe there's a bunch of stuff we don't enjoy, maybe there's some stuff we don't, but there are little fragments of that. And why is that important? Because if you can find an ideal job that lets you do more of what you're good at doing and more of what you enjoy, you're going to prefer that job to something else that makes you do things you don't enjoy or you're not so good at doing. And then figuring out which of these employers, who in the world wants that, needs that, and they're willing to pay you, they're willing to hire you. So then going and getting more clear about what you do, how to ideally describe your profession, your specific role, and then talking about what you want. And so we're going to go deep into what is your ideal job? What do you want most? What is most important to you? Looking at your goals, you know, what's your immediate goal? What's your 1 to 2 year, looking out farther, 5 to 10 year, things like that, because it can make a difference. I've talked about reverse planning before, but if you have a sense of where you want to be in 5 to 10 years, you could be facing 2 to 3 different job offers, and they're hard to maybe tell apart. Maybe they're all pretty close in compensation and what you'd be doing. It's like, okay, they're all reasonable. But if you look farther out and say, well, here's where I want to end up, you know, where I want to live, the kind of work I want to be doing, how I want to position myself. Maybe I want to be a leader, not doing individual contributor work anymore. Maybe you want to be working in a specific industry or domain. If you know that, then you can look at those jobs through a different lens and say, well, actually, this job is going to position me best for that. It will put me on the path to where I want to end up. These other jobs will not. That's why you do this exercise. So yeah, ideal job, jobs to avoid, describing the attributes of your ideal job, and then being clear. It's like, okay, am I a great fit for this right now, or is there a gap? What is the gap? What am I missing? Going from that to your ideal employer. Do you prefer working at smaller companies or bigger companies? Do you want to work at a startup? Do you prefer working for a local business? Do you want to work for an agency? What are you looking for? And don't say anything and everything, because that's the people who spray and pray. Attributes of an ideal employer, what are the must-haves, nice-to-haves, must-avoids? So important. People don't think about that, but think about the stuff you absolutely do not want in your next employer. And then creating a persona that is a profile that you can then use to map opportunities against, saying, okay, here's an opportunity with this company. How close does that map to what I said I really want, what I said the ideal is? Is it a reasonable fit? You know, 75, 80, 90% fit? Or is it only like a 20% fit? And I'm going to be miserable if I'm honest with myself. Then thinking about the ideal boss, and I've said this before, a toxic boss can damage your career. It's not just that they're unpleasant to work for. It's not just that you're going to hate the job. They can damage your career. They can say negative things about you when people do checks, and they can do checks even if you don't ask for it. Welcome to the modern world. They'll figure out where you work. They'll figure out who your boss is. And this person might say, yeah, they're the worst employee I ever had, even if it's not true. I've had this happen to a few people I know. They were like, what is going on? It seems like every time they check with this company, the interviews stop. This has happened 3 times in a row. They must be saying something negative. And so they hired, and there's a company that can do this kind of check, and they found out, yep, that old boss is saying really bad things about you. No wonder. No wonder you're not getting the interviews. That's why I say it's better to work for a great boss at a mediocre company than a bad boss at a great company. And you know, in tech, we have the big companies, the FANGs, and I know somebody who went to one of the FANGs and thought this was going to be great for their career. I'm going to have a FANG on my resume. And it should have been okay, should have been great. But they ended up working for a toxic boss. And this boss damaged their career for years, said negative things about them. So instead of it being a positive thing, now when people check, they're like, oh, you worked at this FANG company. Oh, people said that you were a terrible employee there. So it doesn't count. It means you're not good at what you do, which wasn't true. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So that's why it's so important. Who's your ideal boss? What are the must-haves, nice-to-haves, must-avoids, creating that persona? And then creating your positioning. So how do you position yourself for this ideal role? And that's going to include your LinkedIn, your resume, your presentation materials if you have to do that. Creating your roadmap, your interview roadmap. So if you have a date by which you need to land a new job for one reason or another, start working backwards and say, well, when do I need to figure out my companies I'm targeting and start interviewing? Maybe it's sooner than you think. Then I'm going to dive into each of those three strategies. The connecting strategy, which is all about working your network, categorizing the people that you know, people who are leaders and influencers, people who are on the inside of companies you're interested in, you know, who are your supporters, who are your advisors, and then creating a schedule to start reaching out to people. And you should be doing this, depends, at least weekly. You may need to do it daily. So if you are out of a job, let's say you got laid off, lost your job, and the clock is ticking, you might want to start connecting with people every day. And I talked about the power of your network and referrals in that hidden job market. There was research that found that 17% of people who changed their jobs, of professionals, technical, managerial professionals, had heard about the job from a strong tie, a strong connection in their network. But almost 28% heard about it from a weak tie. That's interesting. And I have a diagram that explains the difference between strong and weak ties. In my case, it's 100%. 100% of my jobs, dating back to 1993, yes, I am old. 100% of my jobs, and they are not bad jobs, working at IBM, working at Apple, came from a tie. Came from a strong tie or came from a weak tie? Referrals. Then I'm going to go into broadcasting, like how to start putting yourself out there and getting noticed. And then the targeting piece, which is super important, like who are the specific employees you're going to target? Who are the people that you can find that can get you connected to people inside that company? Who are going to be your inside champions, which will make all the difference in the world? And there's a little bit more, but then that'll wrap it up, and then there'll be a 20-minute Q&A. So there you have it. That is find a better job using three essential job search strategies. That is the workshop I'll be hosting on April 1st. So you can go to newsletter.invinciblecareer.com and you can find the link to the workshop. Or you can go to invinciblecareer.com, click on the workshops on the homepage there, and that'll take you into the workshop as well. And like I said, the ticket price goes up next week. It goes up next week. I've already got people who are registering and getting that lower price. But I am trying to do that as a benefit for people who make a decision early. You can consider that an early bird discount. It is my gift to you for being a loyal listener. You know, I do value the people who listen to my podcast and read my newsletter. And I want you to be able to get those cheaper seats for the workshop before the price goes up next week. All right. Hope to see you there. Until next time, I wish you the best of luck in becoming an opportunity magnet for the best things in life.